Welcome to Lori Jewett Unscripted, the show where we talk to really awesome people and dive deep into their stories to share with you how they uncovered their hidden superpowers so you can learn how to identify and unleash yours. Here's your host, Lori Jewett.
All right, you guys, welcome back. I am super excited. I could probably have like a 12-hour conversation with this person that I have on today, just about her Facebook post about coffee and acting. But today I've got Nina Kay with me. I'm not even going to pretend to know how to pronounce her last name. I didn't even ask y'all because you know I'm going to butcher it. But so when I tell you we could have a 12-hour conversation, she is an actress, a model. You've probably seen her in quite a few movies, a producer, coffee aficionado, and runs a business with Sam Smith, the small business surgeon. I know we're going to touch on that a little bit. But Nina, I know you're busy and y'all, she had a tornado in her yard last night and still showed up for this podcast call. So that talks about like values and integrity. I appreciate you being here. Why don't you let us know a little bit about you and then we'll have a fun conversation.
Hey guys. Yeah, I'm Nina Kaczorowski, or Nina Kay, easy way to say it my entire life. I work with Samuel Smith, I'm the small business surgeon, and he's my partner. And we run an accountability and coaching for small business groups and small businesses. We help scale businesses and get them ready to sell for some of the companies that like to are looking to, you know, exit out of their company.
That sounds like a lot. And I know you said you do a lot of like the business acquisition and like finding.
Yeah, right. Like I'll take the meetings, finding the people, see if they're a good fit with Sam. Sam's basically the you know, he builds the infrastructure and designs the budgets and overall scales the companies. He's the brains. He's the guy.
I love that. And you know what? I totally meant to introduce you as the, what is it? Polish girl in Texas?
Yes.
No, if you don't have, cause I don't have one, I'm going to come up with one. If y'all don't have a hashtag that relates to like, kind of just sums you up, get one, because I'm telling you, if I hear like Polish or Poland, I think of you. And coffee, like you're one of the people that pops in my head when I think of coffee. So, you know, your social media branding is absolutely awesome. And I'm sure that helps in business.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I got, last year, my Facebook page that I had for 13 years, like going through my whole career from Hollywood, business, everything, got banned for an old picture that was in a magazine years ago. And I had to start, and I was really frustrated because I was like 13 years of that. I was doing the coffee memes and stuff like that for so long. And I was like, forget it, I'm not doing this. And I was like, oh, well, here we go again. So it's been fun kind of restarting over because a lot of new people and stuff that I've reconnected with old ones, but have a lot of new fun people on there.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Facebook, they just kind of pick and choose like what they want to do.
Supposedly, I got reported by some haters, but you know what? Oh, well.
See, but then if you report like the Nigerian prince people, they do nothing. They're like, this is nothing. Nothing. Oh, my goodness. Well, so we'll talk more about business. And I definitely want to talk about the reality show that you guys were just on.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about, tell me a little bit about your acting career. Because you posted a picture the other day that I was like, it made teenage Lori swoon.
Oh.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I think I actually commented that. If I didn't, I was thinking it.
Which was that the one with like Freddie Prinze and those guys? Yes, yes.
Yeah. So how did you get started in acting?
Since I was 5 years old, I was on stage. It was dancing, local plays. Like, you know, I was involved with the Polish community, like Polish Eagle Dancers. We went around Texas, Polish folk dancing, and we would do plays. And that kind of started it. And also a big part was my imagination, and it was my escape from other things going on in life. And it just kind of grew from there. And as a teen, I was about 11 years old. I saw, I was taking in all the teen magazines and all that stuff. And I saw an ad in the local, I think it was a local paper or something for, at the time it was Barbizon Models. And they were submitting pictures, and I took some of my pictures, and my parents didn't know when I submitted to the agency. And I remember hearing my mom having a call come in, and she's like, what are you trying to modeling? And I was like, no, that's for me. And they were calling and inquiring about, you know, me sending the pictures and stuff in, and had a meeting and kind of went from there. And But they also, at the time, Gail, the agent, Gail Berry, she's no, they don't own the agents or Barbizon anymore. They own the agency still. And basically started working with them, working locally. And at 14, I went to New York with Wilhelmina, which at the time was like the second top agency. And at 14, Wilhelmina, and lived in a model's apartment with a whole bunch of other models in New York City. And it just kind of kept going from there. I was always the black sheep. I just was ever since I was a kid. You know, we had a huge, well, the palm tree is gone now because of the storm. But when we moved back to Texas in 1980, I remember, you know, bagging them up, selling them on the side of the road, like always something entrepreneur. Like, I was like, you know, you get me an office job, I'm good for maybe about a year and I've got the itches. I'm like, gotta go.
Right.
Cause I just know, I'm like, there's so much more and you can do so much more and just build so much more than I've just never been that person that can do that. I've always had multiple things going on. Even when I was in acting, I was in real estate. I was in this. I was like, you just always had something going on else.
You and me both. And I was actually thinking about that yesterday because I commented on somebody's Facebook posts. And it's one of those that like I shouldn't have commented on because, of course, I got like a sales pitch in my DMs. But I got to thinking and I'm like, man, I don't even know how to describe what I do because there's so many different things mm-hmm. that it's like, oh, I just do what makes me happy. I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like, it really is like one of the things that Sam has said over time. And it's finally clicked with me. I've learned a lot from him too at business, but you know, like he says, like there's this whole circle of the business and everything's the same, except that middle 10%. Like you could take that out and put a different industry in and take that out and still all this is the same. And I'm like, you know what? That's the same thing. Like in the movie industry, like the real estate industry, it's like, you know, when I came back home, you know, I still in the movie industry, but not, it's not as prominent like it was in LA. But then I started getting different industries or this. And then I'm like, oh my God, this reminds me of being back in LA. Oh my God, this reminds me of the movie business. It's all this. It's like, oh my God, it's the same thing. You're just talking about something else or it's a different product.
Right. I had somebody tell me one day, it was actually somebody that I hired and was training in the insurance industry. And I don't remember the words, but basically what you're saying, but he used the word widget, like same thing, different widget.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And like, of course yep. I butchered his phrase, but same thing you're saying, basically you said it a lot.
Yeah.
So
I can't take the credit. That's Sam.
Right. So we'll plug him really quick. He still has the Small Business Surgeon podcast, right?
Or yes.
Podcast. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not in the car with my husband for like 4 hours a day like I used to be. So I don't hear it as much, but there for a long time. I think Dean's listened to his podcast since like the beginning. So
oh, that's awesome.
Definitely check it out. I think you can look in like Apple Podcasts or whatever.
Yeah, it's on Apple. It's on Spotify. Yeah. The Small Business Surgeon. Yep.
So there we go. There's Sam's plug for the day.
Got it.
That's my bribe to like get him on the show, right? We plugged you. Now you have to come on, please.
Oh, he will.
So what are some of the things, and these are just like questions that are popping into my head because I'm assuming everybody is like thinking the same things or at least similar, but what are some of the things from the, you know, modeling and acting that you've brought into the business world? Because like you say, it's the same, you know, 10% in the middle, but like, I'm sure there's things that you've brought over that you wouldn't have expected would transfer. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Wow. See, it's funny because I don't see that sometimes. He catches it and explains it just gets to see. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. I know there are things. I'm trying to remember like what's on them. I mean, the big thing for me is I've always been a networker, never been afraid to just go start a conversation. You want to meet that person? Okay, hold on. Let's figure it. We got to get in that door. Okay, just give me a minute. I'll get us that meeting. And that's how it was. I mean, I put my, I was like 22 and had my first producing deal with Paramount, put the project together, brought them a movie, a script that had a writer and all of this connected to it. The movie hasn't been made, but I mean, that's the whole part of the business too. A lot of movies get bought and then they're shelved, or even they get shot and then they still get shelved. But probably that is one of them where I'm not shy or afraid to, you know, ask questions, make a fool out of myself. I'll ask the questions, you know, because sometimes, you know, all of our brains work differently. So I'll ask questions that work for me. And I know sometimes people look at me like, huh? And I'm like, but it clicks for me. So I got it now.
Right. That I love that because for me, I'm super ADHD and there are things I have to hear something. Sometimes I have to hear something like 20 different ways before it clicks.
Yeah.
And so I'm a question asker too. And
sometimes I have to go to Sam and I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm like, but now explain it to me as you would to a fifth grader. And then I put all the pieces together. I'm like, now I really got it.
When it clicks, right? And when it clicks, it's like, oh, for me at least, sometimes I'm like, how didn't I get that? Like before, how did, I mean, it makes total sense once it clicks, but until it clicks, it's like, it's just like little air bubbles everywhere. Like what was happening? At least for me.
Or post-it notes everywhere. I try it's to put it together.
Great example. I love that. So yeah, I'm sure that, and if you think of anything as we're talking that like has transferred over, because I'm sure there's got to be stuff. Like I went from insurance to youth ministry, and right. I actually have like on my, like I have a board on the side of my, like my bed, like on the wall, right. The little chalkboard. And it has like things that, because sometimes I have to convince myself, I'm like, really? I just started going back to church like a year and a half ago. And now I like lead a youth group and do all this stuff.
That's awesome.
And it's really cool. But it's nerve wracking sometimes. And sometimes I doubt myself. And so I have like a list of all of the like hard and soft skills that I've brought over that help me, like business to business sales.
Oh, I like that.
It doesn't scare me to talk to teenagers because I'm used to talking to scary business owners, you know? So,
right.
Like my stuff that happened as a teenager, I'm able to use that because kids don't want a perfect, you know, mentor or adult to help them. And so
you have to have somebody that can relate to them or some similar things have happened to know. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think it's really cool because I'm sure there's a lot that transfers over. Like you say, you don't even realize that like we're still sets from all of that.
It's true. Like until like somebody else points it out and I'm like, oh yeah, hey.
So let's talk about, I want to make sure that we make time to talk about this. We still have plenty of time, but so tell me about this new, the reality show that you guys were just on.
Yes. The Blocks. It is last summer, last July, we were in Oklahoma. It's an entrepreneur reality show, kind of like, I know some people say like, you know, Shark Tank meets The Apprentice in a sense. But basically there was like 60,000 applicants, this small business owners and all different levels. I mean, you could be someone brand new, someone, you know, that just started or someone's been in the business for a few years and you go through a process that they go an audition process, meetings, you know, phone conversations. And then once they usually pick 80 every season, about 80 business owners. And then you all go down for 7 days and compete. And they kind of come up with like, you go into pods and like they teach a business class. And then when the business class is done, you have like basically 15 minutes to get to wherever the room is, where your pod is at. Write down whatever the assignment is. It could be something like, you know, one of the things could be like, okay, take us from the beginning, you know, a customer clicks on your website, take us through your whole entire process of how it works, you know, through getting, you know, to delivery to their door. What does your company do? And, you know, it could be systems and it's every day with something else. And then you had one winner of each pod. And then you went up at the end of the night of each day, we had the blocks off, which the winner of each pod went up and then they had their own competition up there. And you had one winner from that. And then ultimately at the end, all the main winners came down and they picked the top three winners for the show.
That's so cool. Yeah. It does kind of sound like Shark Tank meets.
And it's really cool. It's Wes Bergman. He's back from The Real World. And also was it the Challenge that was just not this last season. He was on there and it's his baby. He's been working on this. I mean, like we were on season 11 that just aired or it's airing right now. This Sunday will be episode 4. And
good. We still have to catch up.
Yeah. It's like a business incubator. It's really cool. Like that's what he's like. He's all about building businesses and there's opportunities to be able to, you know, work with him and stuff like that if he is interested in your company. So it's really a neat opportunity. Met some really great entrepreneurs all over, a whole other world of entrepreneurs. It's really cool to meet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. You do not have to answer it, but this is kind of, so we watch like reality cooking shows.
Right.
And there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of editing, and we see what they want us to see. And sometimes they like paint people in a certain way.
Yes.
Are they really that way, or is that okay. painted?
Well, no, that is true. That is true for a lot of reality shows. But for this one, absolutely. There was no scripting. There was no redos. It was when you, every morning they had like breakfast going and all, everybody came in. As soon as you walked into the door, cameras were on. So it was like, if you're hanging out, talking to other business people, whatever was going on, there was no redos. When you go up on stage, if you make it on stage and they ask you a question, and there's no, because it's a competition, there's no redo. Mm-hmm. So we can't say, oh, hey, let me start over. Because it's like, you ask a question, that's your answer. Like, that's it. There's no redo. There's no cuts. There's no nothing. So that's the really great thing about the blocks, is that what you see is, you know, what you get, really.
I love that.
I can't control the editing, but I mean, just from their past, like the episodes we've watched, I mean, they're in the past shows, they're true to like what's going on there. It's because it's hard. I mean, even Sam was just like one of the most, it was definitely much more for him, one of the most stressful times, because, you know, even though we were partners, we could take turns going up for the competition. But I was like, there's no way, because I'm going to mess up and I'm going to remember or miss something from one of the systems or whatever. And it's going to put us out. So I was like, you got to do it. I'm just, you know, being there, coaching him, being his support system, making sure, like, you know, because it was tough. After a week at home, he thought he'd been just need the weekend to recoup and be good. It took us about 2 weeks to get back to like somewhat normal after that.
So how does the experience, because you're used to the cameras and stuff, I would think.
Yeah.
How does the experience from like Hollywood, the movie industry, how is it different from the reality TV? Because it sounds like this is actual reality TV. A lot of it, I don't think, like the Food Network shows, I love them, but
they're definitely scripted. I mean, I've worked on some in the past and you know, when the producers or somebody's asking you a question, they try to steer it in a certain way to get you to say maybe a certain few phrases that later they can edit it to make it be like, oh, she said this.
Yeah. More of them need to be like this show, that it's just like what you see is what you get.
Yeah. No, this one's what you see is what you get. And then, like I said, it's all about entrepreneurs, all about business stuff.
We need more of that.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, like, oh, who's hooking up with who or any of that. It's totally business and it's fun competition. You know, everybody's there, even though you're in competition with each other, everybody's helping each other. And like, even now, like outside of that community, like it's really great how everybody helps each other and stuff like that.
I love it. So how is the reality TV experience different than like movies or Hollywood in general?
Well, I mean, whenever we went on the show, I don't think anybody really knew about my past in the business until after we were done. And, you know, I didn't want to, even when we were there and I was posting my coffee memes and stuff, I kind of pulled back on some of my, you know, flashback Fridays or whatever, because I didn't want to take away from Sam and the business and what it was. I didn't want it to be like, oh, because, you know, I'm working with him or anything like that, because it was totally, I mean, it was all him on that show. But the difference would be is just, you know, like for me, it not being scripted, whereas a movie, you know, I have a script, I have a character to play. Like, you know, if it's a mom dying from cancer, if it's, you know, the Austin Powers henchwoman or whatever, you know, it just,
I totally got excited when I saw that on your IMDb, because I totally looked you up. Like whenever I first started following you, and I'm like, oh, and we were looking up trying to see what movies we had seen. And that was like, I'm like, oh man, I referenced that movie one of those movies just about every day, because my daughter's boyfriend he just started driving and he does the Austin Powers turn in our driveway. Right. And we like sit at the window and just watch him like, boy.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So the difference in having like a script, see, I would struggle unless like I had a teleprompter. I couldn't remember my lines. I would get like the squirrel would walk by or something. And I'd be distracted.
I'm not saying I'm the best person at memorizing, but I definitely over the years since I would, because, you know, being and doing it so long ago. But it's for me, the way I learned to kind of get the memorization down, it's almost like from dance class. Like, I don't know if you ever did glance, you have to do the count, the one, two, like, so I don't know. That's how my brain works. Certain things I have to do in rhythm to get the words down. And then once you kind of learn, you know, you have a backstory of your character, who your character is and where they come from, you know, where it's going, you kind of just kind of work off of that, give your character a backstory. Like, a lot of times you'll get a script and, okay, here's your character, here's where it's going. But sometimes there's no backstory, and to really understand where this is going, you have to build a backstory for yourself. And that's what kind of I do. Like, you know, if this person, you know, if she came from an abused family or came from this or whatever, depending on what the character, who the character was, and where the storyline was going with that. So that's probably the biggest thing. And also, when you're reality, for the most part, you're being you, and everybody's seeing it. You know, there's, like I said, there's no retakes. There's no, oh, let me go take that, you know.
I love that. It's funny. I feel like our brains work kind of similar. And you were saying, like, the backstory, I think I would have to, like, come up with something like that. We have this game that we play with our daughter and her boyfriend. We have permanent double dates. They're 17. And I'm so glad that there are permanent double dates, because most 17-year-olds, including me at 17, I was not hanging out with my parents. So I'm glad that they do.
That's awesome.
Yes.
They're doing good. They want to hang out with you.
I know.
That's
right?
What I say. Like, you know, weird. The kids want to hang out with the parents. They're doing something right.
Right. But it's still, I'm like, I look back and I'm like, man, I would not have done that, but I'm glad they do. And I'm not complaining at all. We decided that, like, when they go off to college, then we'll get back to, like, being a married couple. For now, we're their double dates. But anyway, we have this game, this game that we play. It's called Case File. And it is it's kind of like Clue on crack.
Okay.
And there's this part of it. So you're basically playing Clue, and you have this card that you mark things off. Well, our daughter's boyfriend loves to steal people's cards. There's, like, one of the things you can pick is to steal somebody's card, and he stole mine. And I can't remember. So I'm going through, and I needed to remember certain things. And it was like coworker and neighbor were two of them. I'm not going to go through all of them. And I was trying to remember. So I gave them names, like coworker, my friend Angie. She was my coworker for 4 years. Neighbor, Rachel. So when I got his card and I was trying to go through, I'm like, Angie, Rachel, and going through like that. So I feel like I would have to do like the Lori way of explaining things, but I like that you have to give it a backstory, because I think I would have to do the same thing to be able to.
Well, then also it makes it easier as you, like, you know, once you learn the story, you know the script, and then you know your backstory and the story. At least that's how it works for me, and where the character is going to. It makes memorizing also easier as you learn your lines, like, you know, because you when you learn lines, you don't really just learn your own lines. You have to learn your characters, the opposing character's lines, because some people just wait for that word and, like, say their line, opposed to, like, listening to the other character. But at the same time, you know, like, it's, you got to be real, like, you're actually listening and whatever's going on, and then try to respond, you know, like you would in a real way. Opposed to, you know, acting way.
I love it. So I don't know if you do this. You probably, I don't know if you would or not. I was about to say, you probably do, being from that industry. But when we watch movies, we try and figure out, like, how much of it is ad lib. Because, you know, some of it is, like, just total ad lib that they kept in because it was way funnier.
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no way that most Will Ferrell movies do not have a lot of just, like, ad lib.
Oh, no, those guys for sure. Those guys, even on Austin Powers with Michael Caine and, you know, Mike Myers, like, there were times, because, you know, it's like when the camera's going, you know, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars a minute rolling. And the last thing you want to do is be the one that messes up a shot, you know, and it's on you because then everybody's looking at you. And they were ad libbing. And, you know, I'm having to look straight at him for the shot, and he's ad-lib. And I literally started biting the inside of my cheeks to make it hurt, so I wouldn't, like, start snickering and laughing, because I was just, I'm literally standing right there, and I have Mike Myers and Kane, and they're going, and they're just, you know, whatever's coming out of their heads. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like,
See, I love it when you're watching a movie and you can tell, like, when people are, like, because sometimes you can just see.
Because you can see the other person starts trying to, you know, hold it in. And
Yeah. I'm convinced that, like, Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson, I think a lot of them do it because it's like, you can just see the other people, like, trying so hard not to smile. I love when they leave that in, because it's
Well, some of them try to do it to each other. They try to make the other person break character, you know? So it's like, sometimes it's like a little game for them. Like, let me see if I can get him a big character and, you know, get a laugh out of him, screw up a scene.
I love it. So let's see. I had a question in my head and then I lost it. So what, you know, what do you want people to know about? Because even though you're still acting, you pretty much have switched because you're doing something completely different along with that on the side. So what advice do you have for people that are considering a big change like that? Whether it's a complete change or is still sprinkling the other, you know, industry in?
Well, I guess it's a little hard, different for me. I've always been in business and somehow, like I said, an entrepreneur. And even though acting, I was pursuing that, it's still, you are in business for yourself. You are the product. You are selling the product. I mean,
you're so much harder.
It is. I mean, but that's why for me, it was always easier to pitch somebody else, to pitch, you know, a writer or another person, or get, you know, like I've always said, I'm the wing girl, and that's even with business and stuff. And I've worked, you know, other companies and things like that. Cause like, I feel it's way easier for me to go talk about somebody else than to talk about myself. So right. It's easier to go sell them than go sell myself. And that's always been my, like my biggest thing is trying to sell myself or something. Like, you know, I could be there and be like, yeah, like I have the credentials, I could do the part, but like, hey, you should check out this actor over here.
Well, I think in any sales, and I used to tell people this all the time, and I don't know where I stole it from. Obviously it's not an original thought, but in outside sales or anything, any customer facing, whether you're selling yourself for a part or whatever, mm-hmm. Selling an insurance policy, people buy into you first, yeah. The company second, and the product third. That's in my experience, that's what's always happened.
Yeah.
Is because no matter what, like I literally bought a BMW instead of a Subaru once because I did not like the Subaru salesman. And the BMW guy was like, my listeners are probably like, seriously, we've heard this. I don't care. You're going to hear it again. But we went to BMW and Josh at BMW in Columbus, Georgia. He's not there anymore, but he was absolutely awesome. I just wanted an orange SUV. That is literally the only thing I cared about was an orange SUV. And I went in and he's like, yeah, you know, you want to test drive? And I'm like, no, I don't like test driving. And he's like, okay, well, you know, look it over. And then when we left, he's like, all right, well, you know, if you decide you want it, you give me a call or stop back by and let me know if you have any questions. Like super chill. Then we went to Subaru and the guy like got super pissy. And he literally was walking away from me, like walking away, and loudly said, when you're ready to buy, give me a call. And just like super pissy. And I'm like, oh no. So I went and bought the orange BMW and came back and drove it around the Subaru parking lot, like a petty little, you know what, because I was so mad. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then it gets even better because Josh at BMW, because he sold himself as like, just, he was awesome to work with. I think over the years, we wound up buying like 6 or 7 more cars from him.
Just from him.
Yes. That's from him. Awesome. Yeah. They had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband likes BMW. I don't care. Like it, whatever. I literally upgraded my car because I wanted blue interior lighting. Like it really doesn't matter to me. The things that I look for in a vehicle, so it's definitely the person. So I think that is something that absolutely translates because you are likable. Like even on Zoom, I'm like, oh, I just want to be your best friend because you're relatable. And so you're still using that skill, even though you're working with the small business surgeon. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Life is so crazy and hard. And I know one of the things I've kind of learned from him is like, you know, you got to choose your heart. We got to work. We got to do, we got to pay the bills. We got to do all that anyway. So why don't you try to find something to do that you enjoy? And if you have something on the side, like, you know, when I moved back to Texas, I kind of like really fell off the whole acting in that world. And Sam's been the one who's kind of pushed me back into it more and more and more. You know, he's like the one who's like, you know, because it was so much older now, whatever. And he's like, well, they still need, you know, women actors in their 40s and 50s, and they'll need them in their 60s and 70s. And so I was like, you know what? He's right. So I'm like, I don't have to. Like, you know, I know I'm not in LA, so the industry, it's not as, you know, the work isn't as much, but I'm getting the calls and, you know, kind of getting back out there. So it's fun. Like, my priority will still be like business and everything I do. But I mean, that's the great thing about this business. It gives me the ability to be able to go and do that for if I want to or get an opportunity to.
And I absolutely love that. And this is a good transition to surrounding yourself with people that are going to encourage you, right? Because.
Yes.
There are people in this world, a lot of them that would tell you the opposite of that, of you need to focus on this. This has got to be your priority. That's the past. This is the future. So I love, and my husband is the same way. Like, we support each other, like, no matter what, he supports my craziness.
That's him. Like, he's actually, I mean, you know, from all my past, really, I have to say that Sam's definitely the one that, like, can balance me or knows how to deal with my craziness sometimes. And I'll sit there and I'm kind of like waiting, and I'm like, and he's like, okay. And I'm like, he's like, I already said, okay. And I'm just like, no, they're like expecting like something else or more. And he's like, okay. He's like, moving on. And I'm just like, well,
like, wait, no, you're supposed to like argue that or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah. And it's the same. Like, I super hyper focus on things, and this actually literally just happened today. So I am hosting a table at a tea party at my church tomorrow. Super excited. I'm not really into tea parties, but I'm like, have been so all in on this that I've been going to thrift stores like constantly. And I am a lot of my listeners have read my book and heard me talk about it. I'm a total hoarder. I hyper focus on things, and then I need all of that thing. Right now it's teacups. My table has 8 people, and I think I've bought like 20 teacups in the last 3 weeks. But so my husband went out to go do something earlier, and he passed this thrift store that I've been going to. And it is the most ridiculous Lori thing that you guys will ever hear. So I bought some of these cute little teacups and I got them home. Well, when I got them home, I looked at the bottom and there's this old, I mean, it's obviously old lady handwriting. And right. The first one said, like, it was like a gift from so-and-so 1983, which is the year I was born. And then I flipped another one over and it said, like, picked up in whatever vacation, 1975. Well, that's the year my husband was born. Super cool. So then I get another one, but it's a random year. And then I went back to the Salvation Army thrift store again, like a week later, and they had another one with this lady's handwriting on the bottom. And so now I've been going like regularly because I want to
collect the whole set. Members. You're like, I want to know the story.
I do. I'm like, I feel like I'm a part of their family.
I would too.
So Dean left earlier and he texted me from the thrift store. He was literally, he hates thrift stores because they smell bad and they're just gross. But he literally went in by himself to support my addiction that he complained about yesterday, in case you were wondering. We washed all these teacups for this tea party. And he's like, you don't need this. There's like, you could have the whole town in your tea party. And I'm like, I know. But then he's going to look for more. But I just thought, because he supports that. The weird, crazy idea is that I want this family's memories. I don't want them to get spread out. Like, this poor lady, she probably died and it all got donated. And now it's like...
Anyway, that sounds like something. I get it. I totally get it. We're definitely on the same brainwave.
I love everybody listening is probably like, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it doesn't matter, because it does, though. Like, everybody needs somebody that supports their crazy.
Yeah.
And sometimes my crazy is like wanting to collect somebody's family memories. And I literally will keep going until I find more, because I'm convinced that there's more of this lady's memories in the back and I need them all. I don't know who she is, but like, I feel like I'm supposed to collect them for some weird reason. So one of these days I'm going to have like a set that I can have like a 700 person tea party.
Nice. Let's go.
Get it.
I'm in.
But yeah. So anyway, it is, especially if you're working with someone that mm-hmm. you're in a relationship with, like Dean and yeah. I, we just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary and we've worked together for 16 of that.
And oh, that's awesome.
You have to have that balance, because business has the potential to put a lot of pressure on a relationship if you let it.
Yeah.
And
very true.
I mean, over the years we've let it. Like, there's times that it's like, oh, I wanted to kill him. Didn't, thank God, because I would not do well in prison. I don't have the attention span to only go outside once a day, but
yeah. I haven't had that. I did tell Sam the other day, I'm like, I don't know, like, just, you know, you can know how it is, but being entrepreneurs, it's like such a roller coaster. But the other day I was like, I just want a sledgehammer. And if somebody has a place that like needs demoing, like, that's where you need to let me go and just let me sit there all day. Like, that's where I was at. I was like, I just wanted to go in and just sledgehammer things.
Have you ever been to a break room?
No, but
me neither. I wanted to go to one for years. I want my own private break room. I think that's the next thing I need. It's just like, and Dean could do it. He turned this closet into a podcast studio in like less than 24 hours. That's my next honeydew project, I think.
Yeah, but the thing is, but then you got to keep having new stuff to break. If we just go find the places that are demoing and being like, dude, don't have to pay me. Just give me an hour or two and a sledgehammer. I'm good.
See, I could just go and like take all of the broken printers in the world. And I have enough hostility towards technology.
Oh, this thing.
Yeah. Like I go Office Space on all of the things. Like I would love to one of these days.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Just have everybody donate their printers to you instead of like other places. And you can right? just demolish them.
Yeah. You know what? Salvation Army and Goodwill do not need printers. Give them to me. Maybe exactly. That's how I use my teacups for one of these days. Just a big break room. But no, I would not destroy this poor lady's memories like that. But yeah, so back to like the actual point of that conversation of whether it is someone you're in a relationship with or not, it is so important to have people around you that are supportive and also know how to communicate with you, right? Whether that's a coach, you know, the small
version,
like that you guys have to be able to communicate properly with the people that you're helping.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yep.
So
That's definitely one that I've definitely learned over the years, just in relationships and stuff. Like, you know, I was in one of those, like, you know, over the years, I heard so many friends, like you meet somebody and it was just like, they know, and it was like their person or whatever. And that story. And I'm always like, yeah, that's just BS and in the movie, whatever. And I've got friends in their 60s and their 30s and their 40s that like met and instantly and are still together. And like, it's just the weirdest thing. Like, I never believed it, but like when Sam and I met, it was like that. And then it was the weirdest thing. Cause I was like, wait, this is really weird. Like we just met and it was like, I've known him my entire life. Like I knew like all these things and I'm like, but I just met him. How do I know this? Like, it was just crazy. And it just definitely over time of us being together, it just made me realize that there really is that person. And as much as you try to make things work with other people, even though they're good people and things like that, if it's just the communicate, like they're just it really is a puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. And I never believed that until
until you experience it, right?
Right. Cause I didn't believe it. I was just like, but it is like, and I say that now, not so much about being in the relationship, but just learning that in the relationship makes me understand it more dealing with business people or with clients even more so, because it just, everything just clicked. Like, I know I've always changed the ways and try to deal with people differently, but there are some people that you can't help, but it just clicks better. Yeah. And I think that's great with the relationship with us working with our partners and stuff like that. I think that's where it makes a lot of working with your partner work. They know where you can also know to like step away and, you know, something else is going on. Like you need to go, like, I'm going to leave for a while. We'll come back. We'll regroup, you know, things like that. And without taking it personally, we're back, you know. Other times I take it personally and be like, what do you mean? No, where are you going? Just understanding it, being older too.
Right. Well, we learn things. We look back and we're like, man, I wish I would have known this now. I would have, like, if I knew what I knew now when I was like 16, man, I would have like set the world on fire a lot.
Oh, heck yeah. Yep. I get it.
But, you know, but then
we wouldn't be where we were at if we did that. And exactly. So,
yeah, I try and like, I want my teenagers, I want them so badly to like learn from my mistakes. But if they learn from all of them, then they're not going to they need to make their own, and they're going to make their own.
Yeah. But I have to, like, with my teen, like, cause I remember telling my mom, cause the same thing, like you do, like she was doing the same thing. And I remember telling her, I think I was probably like 15 or 16. And I said, I can still remember it. Cause I'm like, golly, cause it all comes back when you have your own kids. And I was like, I know you're trying to help me. I know you're trying to teach me. I get it, but I'm really not going to get into you. Let me just go out there and figure it out and learn on my own. And then later I'm like, man, I should just listen to mom. She probably made it a little bit easier.
Right. I know. I've given my mother that apology before. I'm like, you were right. I was wrong. I should have listened.
Yep.
But back then it was, I should have listened, but I didn't. So please bail me out. Not in jail, but like just trouble.
Yes.
You know, and on that same line, we're talking about, you know, finding your person. Have you experienced in business that you found people that you just don't want to work with There was a time for me that it was so hard. Like I didn't understand that you could pick and choose who you wanted to work with. So I was working with the wrong people. And the day that I realized that I could fire clients, and I fired my first client and then started getting picky about who I worked with, man, it was another puzzle piece. Like you said earlier, like it was just a puzzle piece that it clicked.
Yeah.
Then it's like everything got easier.
Yes.
And I wasn't trying to please the wrong people.
Right. Cause it was like that's people pleaser. That's my problem.
Same.
Yep. That's that. Yeah. So that's something again that I've learned from Sam that I don't, you know, that you don't have to work with everybody that comes your way. I mean, sometimes I know business owners take on a client because they're struggling or they need the money or whatever, but then that ends up backfiring on you because that client ends up taking more of your time, more just everything, you know, wanting more this, more that, but not wanting to compensate. Or when you tell them, okay, great, well, we could do that, but this is what's going to be. It's like, wait, what do you mean? It's like, you can't. So sometimes it's better to just not take anybody on it in the long run.
There again, that's a lesson I had to learn for myself because I had people tell me that. I've heard it on podcasts. I've heard it on like online courses and stuff, but it was no, all business is good business. No, it's definitely not.
No, I agree.
So it is time for my question that I've yet to forget since I started asking this question.
Okay.
It's literally like on the board behind my laptop, so I don't forget. So what is something that you viewed as a deficit or negative in your life, but you eventually realized that it could be used as a superpower to make an impact?
This was kind of hard because because it's so hard to see it, I think, for yourself until it gets pointed out. But I think for me, from at least what I get told by people a lot is, and I see it now, is just what I was talking about earlier, just me, the social butterfly, the not scared to go and just go talk or just walk up to somebody. I mean, I could even now, like I could be watching somebody on social media, following them and just kind of getting them and just out of the blue contact them, be say, hey, like do you do this? Or do you, I mean, because, you know, not me pitching them for anything, but like something that I've been watching and I have a question for them and I have like, just go in there and ask. Or I think that's probably what a lot of it is, because that's what I hear from a lot of people. And then they say like, you know, they're a little bit more afraid to be able to do that, or it's harder for them to go do that. Whereas I guess it's a lot easier for me. I don't know. That's a hard one. Because it's again, sometimes you don't see your superpowers until other people pick them out.
Oh, 100%.
See them. Yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of look at it as like, you know, it might be more of a, I don't know what the word would be, like not an issue or a deer, like, you know, to us, it's like, you know, or like having the squirrel mind, you know, but like, that's how it goes. And for me, it works.
Right. It's And you use it, you learn to deal with it. And then it's just like, oh, wait, that's a good thing. Cool. Okay. Oh, well, I love it. And I feel like we could keep going for a long time, but we'll have to do this again.
Definitely.
I love it. So where's the best place for people to find you?
The best place would be my website would be follownina.com. And from there, it breaks down, you know, my website to the acting, the clinic, which is our accountability program for entrepreneurs that Sam and I work out of, and just other things that I have going on. You can always find it there.
That's brilliant, because so many people, like whenever I ask that question, they list off like 50 links, and just having the one,
nope,
love it.
Go there. It's like, if it's the, you know, if it's our coffee link coming back, I think we don't have that on right now. We had to pull that back. But like I have my skincare line, like Serena will be the link to that. Small business surgeon, the clinic, things like that. Everything that we're doing with together too will be there.
I love that. So before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about your skincare line.
Oh, yes. It's a retinol and collagen blend. We launched right before Christmas, but we're just kind of still getting all the little kinks out of, you know, getting all the things to... Sam basically built it. So all getting all the little e-commerce stuff going, and I'm learning along the way with him, but he's the main guy. He had built a supplement company back in like 2016, 2017. So he's been in that world since about 2009, 10. So it was kind of fun to have a skincare line come to fruition. And I know he's going to touch base on it a little bit more because it's kind of like, you know, with the stuff that he's doing with the clinic. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for it to him to give me the go ahead and like, we'll do all the starting to do all the other promoting and things like that. But
love it.
That's obviously awesome. More.
It's so cool. You guys are able to do that stuff together too. And play off each other's strengths like that.
Yes, exactly. It makes a great team.
Well, this has been super fun. Is there anything that you wanted to touch on that we didn't touch on?
No, I think we talked a lot of, I'm always game to come back. I mean, the blocks, we got 4 more episodes, so you'll have to watch because there's some big stuff that happens at the end.
Yay. Okay. Well, I'm going to add it to, it's been on my mental list, but I always forget when it comes time to like, okay, let's sit down and chill. I'm like, oh, there's something, but then I forget. So I'm going to add it to the list of things for us to binge, and it'll be really good for the kids to watch too. Cause they're 17.
Yes.
And
oh yeah, definitely.
Graduating soon. Going to get into the entrepreneurial world. So it'll be awesome.
Awesome. Well,
this has been a blast. It has been so much fun getting to know you. I appreciate you, and we will definitely do it again.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right, you guys. Thank you. I will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lori Jewett Unscripted. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you don't miss an episode. As always, please share this with someone that needs to hear it. We'll be back next week with another interesting superhero.